Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Joseph Farah, who is the founder and director of World Net Daily, which is a huge means of communications in the internet age. He's written a new book. It's called The Restitution of All Things, Israel, Christians, and the End of the Age. Joseph, thank you so much for taking some of your time to be with us.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
I really appreciate it. And by the way, before we get into the meat of this book, as far as WorldNet Daily, that is a major player when it comes to communications in our day of the internet. When did you found that? 1997 or something?
Yeah, that's right. 20 years ago, in 2017, we will actually be celebrating our 20th anniversary in May.
Well, so congratulations.
We're the first independent online news service, and took a long time for some others to join us, but now there's more competition, and the more the merrier.
Yeah, well, good for you. Congratulations. And there's a lot of conservatives and Christians that you syndicate in your service.
Absolutely, including you.
Yeah, and well, thank you.
We're very thrilled to have you, Jerry.
Oh, you're too kind. All right, so...
The other unique thing, if I just might say it, about WND.com is that... It is truly a Christian news service. I mean, literally everyone involved in content at WND is a Christian. Of course, we deal with news. Not all of it is. We're not just talking about Christian news. We purposely, and you know my background as a guy who ran daily newspapers in major markets for 20 years. What we're trying to do here is bring some light to the whole world, and so we have plenty of non-Christian readers as well.
Huh. Well, you know, speaking of newspapers, you mentioned in the book that you and Mark Twain had two things in common, that you were both writers, but you also had in common the Sacramento Union.
That's right. Yeah, Samuel Clemens was his name at the time. He later became known as Mark Twain. But the first newspaper that he ever wrote for was the Sacramento Union. It was the one that sent him to Hawaii when Hawaii was known, I think, what was it called, the Sandwich Islands at that time, to report on what was happening there. And the series that he did really set his whole professional career on fire.
Wow.
So, yeah,
that's interesting. I mean, so the reason I even mention that, though, you quote him at length in this book in a quote about Jews, and I think this is very significant. Maybe we could just start the conversation with that particular quote and its significance.
Yeah, it's an important one because, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but what he did was he ventured to the Holy Land. And this, again, was after his time at the Sacramento Union. He went to the Holy Land because he wanted to see what it was like. And this, of course, is in the 1800s, and what late 1800s. And what he found was that... it was abandoned. It was barren. There was, he could walk for days, travel for days, and not run into a single living person. And, which is kind of a contrast to what we hear about today, because what he's telling us is, guess what? There weren't any Palestinians living there at that time.
Hmm.
And what we do know about the Holy Land at the time is that Jerusalem was fairly well populated, and 60% of the people who lived in Jerusalem at that time were Jews, and 10% were Christians. So the overwhelming majority of people living in Jerusalem at that time, and this continues well into the beginning of the 20th century.
Interesting.
By the way, because I've done some population studies on that,
mm-hmm.
Found that those numbers continue to be pretty much accurate. So, we hear that Jerusalem is so important to Muslims, but it wasn't the case in the late 19th century and early 20th century. It was pretty much abandoned by the Muslims.
Hmm. Well, I've got the quote actually here from Mark Twain. It's pretty long, but I'd like to read parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was written in 1898 for Harper's Magazine. It was called Concerning the Jews. And I'm reading from your book, The Restitution of All Things, page 148. If the statistics are right, here's Mark Twain. If the statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous, dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of, has always been heard of. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people, and his commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. His contributions to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning are also way out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in this world in all the ages and has done it with his hands tied behind him. He could be vain of himself and be excused for it. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now or have vanished. And it goes on from there. But part of the whole point of this, I remember Benjamin Disraeli, who was Jewish, but he was also a believer in Jesus, and he was prime minister in England, maybe around the same time, you know, in late Victorian mm-hmm. England, so 19th century. And he once mentioned how the Jew and the fact that the Jew has miraculously survived all these centuries, including by, including persecution by so-called Christians in some cases, is a sign of God's revelation to all the world, you know, because the Jew plays such a prominent part, for example, in giving us the Bible. I mean, the Bible is written by Jews, with the one exception of Luke and Acts, written by the same man, Luke, who may have been partly Jewish. But anyway, your comment about the Jews and this book, The Restitution of All Things.
Absolutely. It's an amazing quote from Mark Twain. And you know, to pour on top of that, which Mark Twain didn't get to witness, but we did in our generation, was the rebirth of this nation after, you know, almost 2,000 years, just as the Bible had predicted, with even the resurrection of the language of Hebrew. You know, that's never happened anywhere else at any time in the history of the world. And I think it's something that obviously we should all take note of. You know, I recognize that there are many Christians who don't believe that it is even significant. And it's one of the reasons that I wrote this book. So, I appreciate you bringing that up, because it wasn't, I haven't memorized that quote from Mark Twain yet, but it's worth memorizing.
Okay, tell me this. There are those in this world that would like to blow Israel off the map. Iran is probably the world's leading terrorist nation, and that says a lot, you know, in today's milieu. They would love to blow Israel off the map. Doesn't Israel have the right for self-determination and defense?
Well, I certainly think it does, and I know you do, Jerry. But, you know, even beyond, you know, the crazy mullahs in Iran who have this desire to destroy the Jewish state, you know, its neighbors do as well. And they're getting a lot of encouragement from, you know, we saw recently the United Nations passed a resolution which, you know, essentially told Israel and the rest of the world that they don't even have the right to build apartment buildings in their own capital of Jerusalem, because somehow that is disputed or occupied territory. And, you know, I was just writing something about this in the last few hours. You know, you go back to 1948 at the formation of Israel, and the formation of Israel, there were some 2,000 Jews living in what we call the Jewish Quarter of Jerusalem. And in 1948, all the Arab armies attacked after Israel declared its nation status. And in that war, they wiped out the Jewish Quarter. And for 19 years, it was under the control of the nation of Jordan, just 19 years. Now, for the last 50 years, Israel Jerusalem has been under the control of the entirety of Jerusalem by the nation state of Israel. And yet they still refer to this disputed territory because it was under the control after an invasion by Jordan. This is the illogic that's being used in the United Nations. And by the way, sadly, that was a resolution that was supported, even though the U.S. cast an abstention on it, supported by this administration in Washington.
Well, going back to what you said earlier, that in Mark Twain's day, when he visited, Jerusalem was inhabited by, what'd you say, 60% Jews?
Yes.
10% Christians, and then, then it would be 30% Muslim, probably.
Yeah, it wasn't even 30%, because there were some non-Muslims.
So, but less than,
it was
okay.
A small minority of Muslims who had any concern for, you know, having a desire to live in Jerusalem, which we hear is, you know, the third holiest city in Islam.
And what about other places in Israel? Most of them, I guess you said, were sparse. Bethlehem,
populated, but
Galilee.
Even at the time, in 1948, the Jews were the majority in the territory, the small territory that had been, you know, designated for the nation state of Israel by the United Nations. There are still plenty of Arabs, you know, living in Israel. What we know is that there are no Jews living in the Palestinian Authority, and do you know why? They won't allow them to. They won't even allow them to visit many Arab countries, let alone live there. And so, you know, we're starting with this whole crazy idea of creating a new Arab state, which is not needed. There are plenty of them, and I'm speaking to you as an Arab American, Jerry. I think you know that.
Explain.
We're starting it on the basis of this Palestinian Authority, which is part of their charter. They demand the ethnic cleansing of any Jews there. If that were not an issue, it would not really be so much to ask. But, you know, since when do we create nations in the world on the basis of a desire to ethnically cleanse them?
Explain how you are an Arab American.
Yeah, my grandparents came to the United States from Syria and Lebanon, married in the United States, and you know, I love the Arab people. I've got a chapter in my new book, which I think is very exciting, that shows that God has a plan for the Arab people. It's a wonderful plan, and in that time of the restitution of all things, it's going to be very exciting. Isaiah 19, for instance, tells us that, you know, it's going to be Egypt, Assyria, and Israel. One-third, one-third, one-third. It's like a beautiful kind of ending. And I believe this is God's peace plan for the Middle East, and I don't think any other peace plan is going to work. But, you know, it's just a beautiful ending to this, you know, conflict that we've seen for so long. And, you know, that's our great hope.
So really, when it's all said and done, even though many strive for world peace and especially peace in the Middle East, it will happen when Jesus comes back and makes
that's
it happen.
Right. Absolutely, and that's what the restitution of all things is. You know, I wrote this book, Jerry, because I you know how you read the Bible sometimes and you run into a verse that you maybe have read it 100 times previously, and all of a sudden something about it, maybe it's the Holy Spirit, you know, gives it like a new kind of intrigue to you, and you want to know everything about it. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened to me when I was reading Acts 3. And I came across this phrase, the restitution of all things, and where Peter says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And this idea that this is what all the prophets had spoken about since the world began really is what grabbed me. And I wanted to know everything about the restitution of all things. And so that commenced this, you know, Bible study for me that went on for a couple of years. I wanted to know what that was all about. And, you know, ultimately it is about the millennial kingdom. It's about the time when Jesus, not that, you know, it's a prophecy book, but it's not what prophecy books generally kind of focus on, which is this short period of tribulation.
Right. Instead of all the difficulties, it deals with the beauty, the beautiful thing when Christ actually reigns and the difference that will make. We're basically out of time, but I want to thank you so much for being with us. Joseph Farah, again, the name of his book is The Restitution of All Things, available at WND.com. Joseph, thanks so much for being with us. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you now. Bye-bye.